Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. I have a couple of announcements. And first of all, before we start with this, I have, there is a card, and Donna Marble had it. I don't know where Donna went. But I have a card for the garden club for doing our yard, and they bought the bark dust that they put out. They bought two loads of bark dust to put out, and they came and spread it. They did it all. So I just want to give them a thank you note from our church. So there, if you haven't signed it, I check with, it's going around and Donna will sign it. And I taught, and Joyce called me, and this is Joyce. Anyway, the 7th of May, they're having a cleanup at the fire station. So she wanted me to let everybody know in case anybody wanted to go to the fire station. And they have the 6th or 7th of June. I was going to look at the sign and forgot. Is their 50th anniversary, and they're having an open house. So that's why they're spiffing up the firehouse. So then I also have, it wasn't Joyce, it was Sherry. But Joyce has a friend that will get gravel for us to put on our road between right outside the fellowship hall, and whatever's left they can spread out from the parking. And if we can pay $200, they will, Sherry is going to kick in the rest, and they will put gravel down for us. So if anybody would like to donate some funds to go get to $200, why, we will have new gravel out there, which we need when it's rainy because people park out there a lot.
Yeah, we need it out there, but we don't need to raise the grade out here anymore.
No, we're not. It's fine. No, it's going to be for over there. That's all it's going to be for. Anyway, Sherry said that she would donate everything over $200 if we can. So if you feel the urge to donate some funds, all we need is $200. And I think that was it. And then we'll go to our adult Sunday school. And we've been having a great discussion. We've been doing with our daily bread. So I encourage you to come at 9:30. And we've been having a great time. Yes? Okay. And so, sorry, but we just don't have the energy to do it. So then we have Gleaners, and Gleaners is on every Wednesday. Be here by 10:55. They open the food up at 11, and it's gone in 11:10. Or 11:07, according to Josh. It took 7 minutes. So, and then if you know of anybody that needs help, be sure and see Helen or Sherry. Prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. It's all by Zoom. I encourage you to go to our website, and they've got it all fixed. So you just click on it, and as long as you have Zoom downloaded, why, you can be with us. It's a great time for prayer. And next week is our potluck. Woohoo! So bring a dish and come and enjoy the fellowship. We'd love to have everybody there next Sunday after church. So with that, let's go to prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just giving you praise. We have had a couple of beautiful, beautiful days. We are so thankful for the sunshine. And we just pray for today. We pray for our church service, that it can just be a glory to you, Lord, that we can bless you for all that you've blessed us with in our lives. We just lift Pastor Teresa up to you. We know that you have put something special on her heart to share with us, and we just are so thankful that we have her that can share the message. Father God, be with us as we sing worship songs. Let us just forget about everything else and just concentrate on you and the words that we sing. We just give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we will stand to our call to worship, and it's John 4:13 and 14. Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again.
Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life.
Amen. All right. We're going to start with Get All Excited.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings.
Amen.
Good job.
Everlasting God.
We wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Won't grow weary. You're a defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do nothing. Won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Eagles. I just had that in my Bible study this morning. Isaiah 53, it's a great chapter. That might be a good
one. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted say, am I love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look up, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Speak, O Lord, as we come to You to receive the food of Your holy word. Take Your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in Your love. That the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all Your purposes for Your teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of Your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see Your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Amen. You may be seated.
Where'd Jeremy go? There he is. Good morning, church. God bless you all. I need him. If you're online today, joining us virtually, remember Tithely is there. You can give there. Otherwise, we can give in person what God has so graciously blessed us with. Father, Lord, thank you for your many blessings, those beyond finances, friendships, family, church family, your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Let us give from a grateful heart for these many things, what you have commanded us to return to you for your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody have anything good happen this week? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. I see that Haley's ready to give me the boot later. That's okay. Yep. Yep. If you need a pillow, let me know. I'll bring one after prayer. Then get right underneath there and keep it above your heart. Let us share those praises from this last week and requests with each other as a family right now. Jeremy. Yeah. So, I don't know about you guys, but if there ever comes a point I'm on the hospital bed and I can't be in church, man, that would just be bad. That would, That would be so sad. So prayers there were shared from Jeremy for his brother Jeff, who's recovering from ankle surgery. Prays that it went fairly well. Hopefully that this will keep from an ankle replacement, that the reconstruction they did will strengthen and he can continue on. And then prayer requests for the Filicki family. Some of you might remember Paula, Mike and Paula Filicki, and their sons Mike and Rosemary and Hannah, right? And Mike and Rosemary were youth kids here back in the day when I was a youth pastor and a little younger anyway. So Paula, their mom, has passed on and gone to glory. So, oh, yes. Bring it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We had some blessings shared, and I got your name again at the door. I forgot. Sally, right? And Mark. Mark. You know what's so funny is I kind of had it backwards. I had Mark with an S starting and you with an M starting in my head. Yeah. Well, okay then. I was wondering if it was that Sally. Plus or minus an inch. So Sally is bringing some praises to God for great weather, a little vacation, out house sitting for someone, and food just when it was needed. And he provides, does he not? Amen. Haley. So Haley is bringing two praises, was it, for your cousin Cleland? No, Leland. Well, I put cousin and Leland together, forgive me. For your cousin Leland, who came and mowed and was so definitely appreciated, since you're not able and your mom is not right now physically able to do so. And then for your job that you continue to love and appreciate, and prayer for your ankle to heal so you can get rid of that boot. Yeah. Yeah, you'll give it the boot. For a second there, I thought you had a leg up on the rest of us, but I wasn't sure. But I botched. I don't know. My bad knees and your boot. Maybe we should do a three-legged race together. It would be hilarious. You know, thank God for that brokenness so we can rely on him. Thank him for our brokenness. Praise you, Lord, for our brokenness. Yeah. Judy.
I have a praise and prayer.
Yep. Josh's kid. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is Teresa's nephew. So Josh's cousin. Okay. All right. So Teresa Hesselgesser's nephew, Mitchell, prays he's getting baptized and has gotten himself free from addiction and is Holy Spirit filled and being blessed. And then prayer for his sibling, right? His brother, Trevor, who is in bondage and needs to find freedom. Absolutely. I think I saw another one. Fred. In the conversations we've had since, it did knock some sense into him, so I'm grateful too. So Fred is praising God for people who are there to help him from a fall he had in Hillsboro 2 days ago onto concrete that, thank God, was not harder than marble. And so, you can't take, even marble can't take people for granted when they come and help. So, sorry, it's built in. It's built in. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Teresa. Jehovah Jireh. So Teresa is praising God for money that came in the mail unexpectedly that exactly covers an unexpected bill, and how God always provides. Haley. Yeah, we all woke up today. Yep. Yep. Haley's praising God she got here even without grandma. And loves her grandma nonetheless, and prays that she woke up today. Anybody else on that one? Yeah, I woke up today. Absolutely. Was there another prayer? Praise. Oh, Susie. Oh, yeah. Why not? Why not? All right. So Susie is sharing a praise about the Feast of Fellowship that she was able to have with Becky Kroom this last week, and Barb, I'm going to guess maybe Guggen, but I don't know which. Force. Okay. I know there's a couple Barbs. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, yeah, a praise for Fellowship of Feast, their feasting fellowship. Yeah. Linda. So Lori is lifting up her sister Stephanie. I'm sorry, Linda. Because you said Lori's your little sister. I know. So your older sister Stephanie, who's going through cancer, just got the diagnosis back on the East Coast. And then I already forgot what the first one was. I'm sorry. Oh, Lori Cooper. That's right. Jim. That's it. I got them confused. Yeah. I never do that twice in 1 minute. Yeah, and prayer for Lori Cooper as we reach the annual passing of Jim and his homecoming to heaven. Anybody else? Sarah. So there was a lot there. I'm going to try to get them all. Yeah. Yeah. First one was a praise for a future freshman in our family, and that went well. Him getting ready for that. I'm quite excited for that too. And then several prayer requests for people that are struggling with cancer that Sarah is aware of. Former coworker Alyssa with bone cancer. Continue prayer there. Prayer for the Smith family, who lost a father, leaving a mother and two children behind. And then prayer for Dayson Tiaganko, Sarah's co-worker, who has an open heart surgery this Wednesday. And there was one I missed in there, sorry. Van Dyke family, yes. Oh, no, and there was another one, Aaron Lloyd. Aaron Lloyd, from the Kemper family. Who is at OHSU still fighting initial stage, I think it was stage 3, but her initial fight with cancer. So, yeah, a lot of people that are praying for. Donna. Prayer for Bill Marble and his back to feel better. It's hurting him right now. Carolyn. He makes all things new, amen. Not just us, but the creation as well. Yes. So my mom is lifting up a praise for the splendor blooming around us. Jeremy. Oh, your nephew is graduating. So Jeremy is praising God that his nephew is graduating. His nephew Christopher. That is Bill Jr.'s son. Yeah. He was just little. Yeah. Yeah. He is. How about this? His faithfulness continues to all generations. Amen? Amen? Yeah, even Christopher, even Dawson. Yeah, absolutely. All generations. Sarah. Sarah's praising God for all the first grade teachers out there and how they do their job, because she got to sub twice this week impromptu in a first grade classroom because she has a really good student teacher that was able to take care of her classroom. Did I see one more, Haley? Bring it. Yeah. I'm going to bet you she just gives you a big old hug when you get back. But that's okay. Give her... When she gives you a hug when you get home, give her one back for all of us. Yeah, that's all there is to it. Anyone else? All right, let's go together as a family. Father, Lord, thank you for being the creator of the universe, the author of everything, whose very words speak life into existence and life into us. Thank you that we can simply trust completely your will in our lives, because you created us and know the purposes you have for us. Lord, as we get to crossroads in our lives or moments of trial, and we forget to look to you, forgive us. In our flesh, when we flounder, forgive us. When we're cross with someone else, forgive us. When we turn away from a divine appointment, forgive us. When we use coarse language, forgive us. Forgive us for everything, as you faithfully do. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay the price for our sins, that we will live anew and again. Thank you for that new life now. Not just when we die, but even now. Lord, thank you for that new life to hold on to as we go through cancer treatments, as we go through illnesses, as we go through injuries, as we go through anniversaries of lost loved ones, as we rejoice in freedom for family members, as we long suffer with those still in bondage to sin. Lord God, we lift up so many different requests here, many for cancer, so many right now that we can't remember them all, but God, you know them. You made them. Their bodies were fearfully and wonderfully made by you. So reach into each one of their bodies, Lord. Use surgeons' hands if needed, but bring about healing. And Lord, thank you for the hands of surgeons this last week, for a couple of the requests, Lord, and for one coming up. Guide and keep steady, and bring wisdom to the minds that control the fingers to bring healing to our bodies. And Lord, for this great nation and the leadership of it, we lift it up to you. We lift them all up to you. When we just hear about what's happening, Lord, we think about all the chaos, and we can simply turn our hearts back to you and say, you are God. You are in control. And whatever storms may come, we can walk on water through the gales holding on to you. Lord God, be with our leaders. Give them all wisdom at all levels of God's, so that all people will be blessed by your presence in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Thank you for everything you will. Amen. All right, kiddos. For some reason, for children's church today, they had to have blankets and pillows. So if any of you saw them in the pew over there thinking we were going to sleep during the sermon, that's not the case. Seriously?
This is not like normal.
A lot of times things aren't like normal. What do we do this?
Seriously?
Bruh. Oh boy. Alright, bruh. You ready to sing a song?
You don't call me bruh.
Okay, get your hands ready. You gotta clap hands on this one. Are you ready? Oh, I need my hand to clap it. Yeah. Yes, please. Yeah, have my hands. Claire, you need your hands to clap on this one too. Are you ready?
That'd be neat.
Well, if you love Jesus, my Savior, clap your hands. If you love Jesus, my Savior, clap your hands. If you'd sing praises to Him, and if you wish that the whole world knew Him, lift your voices, ready, clap to Him, clap your hands. Well, if you love Jesus, stomp your feet. If you love Jesus, my Savior, stomp your feet. Well, if you would sing praises to Him, and if you wish that the whole world knew Him, lift our voices up to Him, stomp your feet. Ready? Jesus, my Savior, clap your hands.
That's it.
If you love Jesus, my Savior, stomp your feet. Well, if you would sing praises to Him, and the host of the whole world knew Him, lift up your voices up to Him, clap your hands, stomp your feet. You ready to say a prayer to go to Children's Church? Okay. Dear Jesus, thank you for these little ones. Thank you for the way they cause us to stop and focus on you. Thank you that the words that come out of the mouth of babes can lead us right back to your throne. Lord, we ask that you watch over them every step of their ways, every day. Lead them to righteousness and into your kingdom. Amen. All right, guys. Have a good one.
What?
We're
doing children
here. Yeah, he's got that. Seriously. Seriously, it's good stuff. Yes, thank God for Sister Carolyn working with our young people today. Lord bless them as they have their service as well. Amen. Yeah, seriously, seriously. Yeah, seriously. Good morning and welcome. I hope you were able to identify Jesus this past week in a few places, if not in all the places and spaces in your life. Last week, we talked about how sometimes life's challenges block our view and our ability to recognize Jesus when he's standing right next to us in plain sight. Today, we're going to explore the abundant life he promises. But here's an exercise I'd like us to do. Sister Debbie's going to queue up for us a video. And so what I want to encourage you to do is call out your guests. You can say it out loud, okay? And by the way, I don't have any prizes for you. So I know, Haley, I'm sorry. But you do get bragging rights if you know the voices, okay? So there you go. So we're going to do probably just the first six. There's actually a lot of them, but we only want to do the first six. So guess who's talking is what we're going to do. See if you can recognize the voice and call out the person's name if you're guessing the voice. Thank you, Sister Debbie.
Your job as an actor is to give it your best shot every time. So, yes, I'm going into it with the idea
when he talked to me about it to begin with. I didn't assume it would be television. But I think that this story...
It's everything you wish for. Your site traffic is skyrocketing. Until this happens. Be careful what you wish for.
As an actor, I pretend for a living. I play fictitious characters, often solving fictitious problems. I believe that men...
Say the character, the story, and am I going to have a really good time? Am I going to connect to it? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be real serious.
Every actor that I work with, every director has their own taste and style, and every actor, I mean, especially early on, is when you hear about this. There's this great sense of camaraderie, and and I think anyone who's retired from acting or filmmaking, if you ask them.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. So I think Sarah probably got most of them. So it was between Sarah and Sister Linda. She also knew. So that's good stuff. Just some fun things to think about, how well you know someone's voice, right? So you hear their voice and you're like, oh, I know who that is, right? It's funny how we can get familiar with celebrity voices, but there's one voice all Christians should know. So turn with me to John chapter 10. Again, follow along with whichever translation you prefer, but today we're going to be using the Message. John chapter 10, beginning at the beginning. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. So this is Jesus re-explaining. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. They are sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Amen to God's word. So now, that's just the beginning of chapter 10 of John. Allow me to set up the text. If you go back, actually, to chapter 9, you'll see Jesus healing a man who was blind from birth. It's a whole fiasco if you go back and read that. The religious leaders accuse Jesus of being a false teacher because he's healing on the Sabbath day. Now, it's funny, this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the Sabbath day and all the shenanigans that happen now on Sundays with stores being open and all the things. So they got mad at Jesus because he was actually healing someone. He was performing a miracle on the Lord's day. So their rationale was, I know it was very rude of him. Like, what is happening right now? If he was the Messiah, let alone a rabbi, he should have known better than to do that. An argument quickly divides that group because some point out he has to be from God because he performed a miracle, for crying out loud. And yet there were those who were like, nah. And they stood their ground on making their accusations. This is what the Sabbath day is supposed to be like, not that. So Jesus exchanges a few words with them and points out their spiritual blindness after offering salvation to the healed man. We should also note, it's very fascinating what John does in his book. He distinguishes himself from the other gospel writers, like Matthew, for example. Matthew highlights all the many parables that Jesus used to reveal himself and to teach people about his purpose and who he was. John, on the other hand, shows who Jesus is in a couple of ways. He's using his actual writing like Genesis in the beginning, but he also tracks the I statements of Jesus so that he can show who Jesus is, that he really is the Messiah. And so in chapter 10, it contains two of those I statements. So Jesus makes his I am statements just after the blind man incident. So they're actually, it may look like there's a break because you go chapter 9 has ended and now you turn to chapter 10, but it's probably all happening right next to each other the same day, the same moment, because of what happens in chapter 10. So you know, when you're reading this, you'll see the connection. So he makes his I statements after he heals the blind man. And when he's talking in chapter 10, it's in response to the Pharisees' charges. Again, how can he be holy? How can he be of God? And he's performing this miracle on the Sabbath day. That's sacrilegious. So he says to his disciples and the crowd who are listening to him, a curious story about the faithfulness of a shepherd. So now I have this conversation with Jesus quite a bit. So I'm guessing his followers back then did too. So now, Jesus, why can't you just speak in plain English? I mean, what? Why have we got to do the parables and all the metaphors, contrast and comparison? Can we just say what you mean? You ever be praying and you're like, okay, Lord, I need you to reveal yourself. I need to know what's happening. And what are we doing? What are we doing, Sarah? What are we doing? I just can't with the riddles. Just plain talk, please. So the text says the people were confused at this point of the story. They're like, okay, so he just healed this blind man. Now he's telling us about what it takes to be a good shepherd. How do those connect? They don't get it. Surely they were familiar with a shepherd's role. They no doubt had a few shepherds in their life. They had relatives who were shepherds. They had a neighbor who was, if they weren't themselves, right? They've watched what a shepherd does time and time again, many times over. And they would agree that a good shepherd would do just what Jesus was describing and more. He would enter using the proper gate, and the sheep would not only recognize his voice, but they would know his scent. And we talked about sheep before in the past. Remember, they're not as dumb as myth makes them out to be. They really aren't. They're very smart creatures. They recognize their human's voice, and they know their human by sight. So they could actually, Susie, if you were their shepherd, they would go, oh, there's Susie Q, our shepherd. Okay? they wouldn't confuse Susie with Ivan. They'd be like, who's this dude? What? And then they respond to their name. So if you name your sheep, they actually, just like we do our cats and our dogs, same thing. They recognize their name and they'll respond to their human because of their voice and because they know their name. Now, so I would like to think, Sister Glory, that if I were in the audience, I might have had a rare day. And instead of being confused and wondering why Jesus was bringing up such a weird topic at this moment, I might have immediately assumed he was equating himself to the shepherd. Like, oh yeah, of course. Because the Old Testament talks about the good shepherd and what the shepherd does. After all, he's comparing and contrasting what a good shepherd would do as opposed to the charlatan, the fake one, the one who would abuse the sheep for his personal gain. Now, as a person living in that day, I would understand the imagery. And based on my relationship to Jesus, because, you know, I'm part of the crowd. I'm following him around. I'm listening to him teach and expound on the written word. Following for him for the short amount of time that I have, I'm going to figure out, he's talking about himself. He's that good shepherd. But others around me, they're confused. So then Jesus continues trying to unmuddy the waters and compares himself to the gate, not the shepherd. Okay, Jesus, see, this is where I'm like putting my hand on my hip, Sister Susie. Now, see, I was with you when you were talking about being a good shepherd. But he doesn't say that he's a good shepherd. He talks about being the gate. What now? Come again? What does that have? What? See, this is why people are confused. I was trying to have your back, but I'm lost again. What in the world? You're the gate? Now, that doesn't make sense, Jesus. What's the gate have to do since I'm one of the sheep? I'm definitely not a thief climbing over the fence to get a sheep. I figured he was the shepherd because I know his voice. I would be one of the sheep who would run and scatter if another person walked up, calling my name and pushing my herd out the door. I'm not going to follow Ivan. Susie's my shepherd. I get that, but he's not talking about being the shepherd. He's actually talking about being the gate. Why is he saying he's the gate? So what exactly does Jesus mean? Well, he explains it there, right there in the text. It's quite plain. He says a couple of times, emphatically, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. I love how the message translates that. You will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than ever they dreamed. So Jesus is explaining his role. He's saying to them, his purpose is for the people to come through him so they can access eternal life. Remember what eternal life is. That's living with God after this life is over. And, he says, live beyond their imagination during this life. There are lots of Christians that focus on heaven. Heaven, 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 heaven. But it's not exactly what the Bible teaches. It's not just our existence after this world is over. Jesus came for right here and right now. And so he says, beyond what you can imagine. Just like me, Sister Susie, worrying about, now how am I going to help this child with his car? Can he stop being expensive? Sister Debbie, do you need a son? Do you need a son? An adult son? What is happening? And God just stepped up and said, baby girl, I got you. And I've got him. I'm going to take care of it all. And this is what Jesus is talking about. I'm not just giving you life after death. I'm talking about right here, right now. You will experience the peace and the safety of being in those good pastures. because that's what a shepherd does. But you've got to go through the gate in order to have access to that. So this is why Jesus gives them the description of the gate's purpose. If a sheep goes through the gate, they'll have access to the pastures full of good food, offering safety, and offering rest. Now, notice the gate is not a boundary used to prevent access to the pasture. The gate partners with the shepherd in keeping the flock safe and well cared for. So the gate gets closed at night to protect them, right? And then it's open when the shepherd arrives to escort the flock to a place of nourishment. That's what Jesus does. Jesus says, we can freely go in and out. He's reminding the listeners that they have free will. They choose if they want to listen to the shepherd's voice and follow through the gate, both in and out. If we choose him as our gate, we win. I would also add, it's a reminder to us that we are not the gate. And this is why Jesus is telling the story, so that the Pharisees can hear. You are not the gate. In fact, you're not even the good shepherd. And so they get angry with him. How dare he say those things? Yeah, because some of us, good, well-intended Christians, go around trying to be gatekeepers. You get to know Jesus, you get to know Jesus, but you people over there, you can't know Jesus. And by the way, stop doing those things on Sunday. No, that's not our job. It's not our job. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the shepherd. Our job is to be a good sheep and welcome others into the flock. Now, Jesus goes into welcoming and knowing that others are part of the flock later in the chapter. So I encourage you to read it when you go home. Read the rest of chapter 10, because Jesus talks about this is the flock here, but there's other sheep out there that are also a part of the flock. And just because they don't sing the hymns that you sing, they don't play the drums or do this or do that, doesn't mean that they're not part of the flock. Gales Creek is not the only church that's going to go to heaven. You know, some of us, in our minds, we think, who don't do worship the way we do, are you really saved, Rhonda? Are you? Okay, stop that. You are not the gate. You are not the shepherd. You are a part of the flock. Now, as you continue on in chapter 10, we see Jesus going back to the shepherd, and then he openly declares himself as the good shepherd, hence the second I am statement. Listen to verses 11 through 18. Again, I'm reading from the Message. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself. He sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. Listen to what he says. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. That's what Jesus said. Do you know him? This is a beautiful song entitled that. Do you know him? It's a great song. I used to sing it as a kid in church. If you really know Jesus, you're going to recognize his voice. You're going to know, you're going to trust him to be that gate so that you can walk in and out knowing that he cares for you in all the things. But Jesus lays it out plainly for his listeners that day. What started off as a little confusing Like, why is he telling this story now after having healed that blind man? It ends with more clarity as Jesus explains the metaphors he's using. He's telling the crowd back then and us today that he is God's gate. If we want access to God's protection, to God's provision, to God's blessed life, we must not attempt climbing the fence, but simply go through the gate. Jesus is his gate. We must also learn to recognize Jesus' voice. He said his sheep know him. If we really are his sheep, then we will know his voice. We know to run when another voice or set of voices starts speaking lies to us. Just like the sheep scatter, when the gate is opened because they hear an unfamiliar voice, we too should run for safety. I think it's amazing that sheep know to do that. It's like, wait, they're opening the gate, but this isn't the voice of our shepherd. Run. We can't trust this person. That's what we should be doing in our spiritual lives. It's so amazing, Sister Judy, we talked about those voices at late at night, didn't we? In our Sunday school class earlier this morning. Why does the enemy do that? Because he knows when you're alone, as a sheep that's alone, you're unprotected. Who's going to help you? Who's going to save you? We have to get to that place, Haley, where we know, that's not the voice of God. God would never say that. And he wouldn't say that to me. He would never say that he doesn't love me. Because we know when we're reading God's word, he says it time and time again. I love you. So we've got to get to know his voice so that we can recognize it. And when the enemy comes, we know that those are just lies. And we should run to God for safety. There'll be a time when folks will impersonate Jesus' voice. It happens all the time. It happened when Jesus was there. It's happened now that he's gone. You know, but I love imitating others' voices and mannerisms. There's some people I love imitating. And I actually like watching others who do it well. One of my favorites is Jamie Foxx. He's really good at it. He portrayed Ray Charles in a biopic and captured Mr. Charles's ways and his voice, his mannerisms and all the things. I was like, that's some good acting. When another comes sounding like Jesus, he might even look like Jesus, acting like Jesus, that's a time when we should look for the other signs of our Savior. Remember that phrase that was all the buzz back in the day? What would Jesus do? Remember that? This is how we'll know Jesus. It's not actually, if I were Jesus, this is what I would do, because that's what usually how people interpreted it, Haley. And I was like, oh my God, can y'all stop saying that? Because it has nothing to do with what Jesus would do. It's actually Jesus doing, carrying out the will of God. That's what Jesus would do. So this is how we'll know Jesus. His words and his actions will align. Because we know him, we will know his voice. Those who come with signs and wonders, they're not necessarily Christ. They're not even of Christ. Anytime Jesus used a sign and performed a wonder, it was for God's glory. He never did things for his own glory. He said it time and again, I'm not doing anything new. I'm not creating anything. I'm doing the will of the Father. Whatever the Father says, that's what I do. So we are to follow likewise. So if there are people who are doing signs and wonders, because people perform miracles today, but if it's for their glory or for the glory even of another human or deity, they are not of God. If it doesn't point you back to God, wrong answer. Run, run, Forrest, run. Like she said in the movie, You got to run. You got to be like that sheep and scatter. Scatter quickly. Run for safety. They are not of God. Now, I know. Somebody's probably wondering, well, I know God, but how do I know that I know that I know his voice? There's a few things that we can do to build our skill at knowing God's voice, at identifying when God is speaking to us. First thing, we need to read and study God's word, just like we're doing today, just like we're doing right here, right now. Some of us were doing it earlier in Sunday school. Whatever it looks like, you need to read and study the word of God. I call it reading and chewing. The Old Testament talks about meditating on the word of God. It's not just reading. It's actually through the rest of the week, you're like, huh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, show me what that means. And so on Monday, he's showing you. Oh, well, what about? So then on Tuesday, he answers your what about question. And you chew on it some more on Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday. And it's a continuous reading and chewing on it. It's never a one and done. So reading, studying God's word. That's one way. But we also need to couple that with praying for understanding. Some passages you're going to read and you're going to reread and you're just like, what in the world? Why is this even included here? You have to rely on the Holy Spirit, Sally. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the meaning so that you can get it. The other thing I would say is we need to build relationships with other believers. Our community reinforces what God is saying. We cannot really be truly followers of Christ living by ourselves. Christ, knowing Christ and knowing God, we are created to be in community. Simply said, you can't do it all by yourself, Sister Laura. You're supposed to be a part of the community. So that when you are not understanding something and you're going astray, people can go, oh, no. That's not what that means. It means this. Oh, and we get better understanding and we grow together. Iron sharpening iron. So that's how we get to know God's voice. Read, study his word, pray for understanding, and build Christian relationships so that we can grow stronger together. I want you to pray with me. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this day. We pray that you will seal what we've learned today in our hearts so that we can actually better know your voice, that we can follow the Good Shepherd as he guides us through your gate, protects us, and gives us life. I pray that your Spirit will deafen our ears to the lies of the enemy, who does come, as the word says, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for providing not just eternal life after this world is over, but a better life right here, right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray it in your holy name. Amen. Let's close with a song and then with our benediction.
Stand and close with, we are one in the bond of love.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands that the world may know we are one in the bond of love.
We thank God that He has made us one through the bond of love in Jesus Christ. Go now, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that His Spirit is with you to empower you to be salt and light. Until we see each other again, go in God's grace and His peace. Peace be with you.
Amen.